I had a couple of things in my spirit that I wanted to share tonight. And, you know, there are certain things that you have to grow in in your spiritual life as a Christian. There are certain important areas that you have to develop in as you go along in your merry way in the life of Christ, or life of the faith in Christ. And so I wanted to share something like that, but I also had kind of leaning towards being led by the Spirit, how to be led in life. So I want to talk about making decisions, and how to make decisions. Some of you might be in process of making a decision about something in your life. Those of you that are watching on television, wherever you are across Canada, you might be thinking about making a decision. Sometimes big decisions could be small ones that will affect you for a long, long time. You know, where you live is important. How many people know that where you live is important, where God places you? You know, and the Bible says that God places us strategically in different parts of the world and different locations. God has led you, I believe, to this city, to this part of the city, and you led you to this church, and you're put together. God puts people together and leads everyone for important reasons, sometimes for a short time, sometimes for a long time. For instance, if you marry your wife or husband, you're there for a long time. And so if you got a job, you don't just hop from job to job. You want to stay. I hear it about the millennials. Or is it the millennials or those other guys? They kind of change jobs very quickly. They don't stick with one company. The guys, the baby boomers, they stick with one job all their lives. You know, take for instance, people here been on a job for 30 years, someplace, and the younger people, they want to get excited. They want to work everywhere, and so I like stability. I like to work, you know, and for myself, I like to have variety. So I kind of, in my study as a Christian, or at least as a college student, I found that one of the things about myself is that I like to have variety. I value different experiences in work. And so that's why I kind of have a job I have. I could work at the college, I could teach there, work here, I could do the Spirit Alive thing, I could go and do different things. So I'm thinking about taking weaving baskets. Next project is making dream catchers or something. Make it exciting, praise God, amen. Okay, did you find your Bibles? Or you find something to scratch some notes on? So how to make decisions in life. Our topic is getting direction. And our title is how to make decisions. How to make decisions about anything. And our text is found in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says there in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, in the New Living Translation, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There that day, the Lord will soon arrive. So we want to take the phrase, waiting in the valley of decisions. There are thousands and thousands of people right now. They're about to make decisions about different things in life. Some are big, important decisions. You know, you could take any example in your life about what those are. So making a decision or a decision determines the direction you'll take in life. Your decision that you make right now will determine where you're going to end up someday. So it matters what decisions you'll make. It's important to know that whatever decision you make, if you take to the right hand, to the left hand, or to whatever you're going to do, it's important. Also take note that making no decision is also a decision. If you don't take a decision, it's still a decision. So it's important for you to make the right decision so that you can be happy. And your happiness depends on making that right decision. So people around you want you to make the right ones. How many people know that the decision you make affects other people? and what you do in your life. It matters to other people, your children, your husband, your wife, whoever it is, about the decisions you're making right now. When you look at your past, you'll see how important a certain decision was and how that played a role in terms of how successful you were or how you were not successful, or how happy you were and how unhappy you might have been. And if you look at that and you say, you know, of course you can't change the past, but you can change whatever you have right now. You can get back on there and make the right decision. So what if you made the wrong ones and end up in the wrong path? You know, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says that for us, there's a right way and a wrong way. There's a right decision, the right path to take, and a wrong path to take. God gives us the notion or understanding that there's a right way to do something and a wrong way to do something, a right path to take and a wrong path to take. And it says the person who takes the right path will become, their life will become brighter and brighter, happier and happier. Things will get better for you. Things should get better from year to year. Your life should get better. Unless you're going through some kind of crisis and you have to stand out the storm and go through this decision. No, I hate going through a crisis. The Lord woke me up, honey, this yesterday morning and said to me, no matter how stressful your life was, he said, I'm going to restore everything you had. Everything that you went through, every kind of problems you went through, every stress you went through that affected your body, he said, I will show health unto you. And I will restore you and I will recover you. So God, you know, he will restore you. You know, we live in an imperfect life, imperfect world, and things can affect us. Your decisions can affect your health. Your decision can affect someone else's health. You know, because you can stress somebody out. You know, I realized as a pastor, I found out that, you know, pastors can stress their staff out. We don't like that, but we don't like that, right? We don't like the fact that our decisions affect other people. And we make the wrong one. Sometimes we become foolish or stupid. We affect people. We don't mean to, but we need direction. And so, sometimes when you, I don't know if you're like me, if you tell your children something, they don't like to hear right and wrong. Because it affects everyone. Their decisions affect you. And so, staff-wise, or working with people, and working with people in the city, they don't want to know certain things, because they just want to keep going right on, pretend it never happened. They pretend they never made this a bad decision. So everybody say valley of decisions. And so many are in the valley of decisions right now. They're in a low point of life and trying to make a decision, getting out of certain things. There's some people have indecision. They feel like they don't want to make a decision about making the right move. They think about, you know, if you think about all the decisions you've made for a number of years, you look back, say 10 years, 20 years, look at all the decisions you made, and you can tell which one were the best ones, which was not very good. And you'd be able to change that if you could, but you can't. But you can learn from it. You can learn from your wrongs. Now, understand this, that God promises always to lead you and me in life. Let's go to Psalm 32, verse 8. We're looking at the New Living Translation. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life. And I will advise you, and I'll watch over you. God promises to guide you to the best possible plan that you can make. He promises to be your guide. And God promises to give you advice if you'd ask him. And he promises not only that, but he promises to watch over you. God will watch over you. Everybody say, God will watch over me. So that's a very comforting word, isn't it? That God is watching over you, and you will not always have a problem. So he said, I will instruct you and teach you and guide you. The Lord is right now, he is instructing you. He is teaching you. He is guiding you. You might not feel that he is, but he is doing it. Sometimes you don't see it, but he's doing it. He's putting people in your way. He's reminding you of different things. Certain things will come up in life. And then you'll say, hey, God is leading me. So your faith is the key in knowing how to make those decisions. And understanding the word of God is very important. The Bible says God will help you in making decisions, any kind of decision. You must believe what the scriptures say about hearing God's voice, hearing his voice. And so don't look for an audible voice. Look on the inside of you where God tells you on the inside that God will give you a witness. God will give you something. You know, your conscience, if it's hurting, it's an indication that, hey, you're on the wrong path. If it's bothering you, something bothering you on the inside, you guys say, what's that? What's that? There's a check in my spirit about something. I know right away sometimes, you know, God will lead me to do something, to read something, and I don't read it, and I find out later, I should have read that. I should have read that scripture. I should have read that part of the book I should have read there. God was trying to get over to me. He's trying to lead me. And so we need to discipline ourselves to hear God. Take the time. Take time to read the Bible every day. Maybe take 15 minutes or 10 minutes to start your day and say a prayer and you're off to work and plan to talk to God during the daytime and throughout the day as you go along and ask questions to the Lord and expect him to answer you. Pray at night before you go to bed. Before you ever go to bed at night, read a scripture. Read the Bible or read something. And refresh your mind before you go to bed, and he'll begin to speak to you. In Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, the New Living Translation says this: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. You must understand that God is really interested in every detail of your life. And, you know, people think, you know, well, he doesn't really care. Well, he does care about that. And so though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You know, there's going to be a time when you make a wrong move. There's going to be a time when you didn't take the right step that you should have. But don't be in distress, in despair, because God will stabilize you. And if your heart is right, if your heart on setting following Father God, and you didn't have the right information, but your heart is, God will begin to stabilize you back on again. I've been in places where I've, you know, maybe perhaps I was just so exuberant about following God, and I made a wrong mistake, wrong turn, you know, I want to follow God. But I've realized that God says, I want to help you anyway. There's times I've been so exuberant of giving money away. And I had to do it out for a while. But the Lord says, because you've done that, I'm going to make it up to you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord will make it up. He'll make it up. You'll never, if you ever did it in the name of the Lord, no matter what you've done, you know, you might have been exuberant and gave away all your nice clothes or something. Whatever it is, you know, you gave away your best suit. And you say, what am I going to wear now? Well, the Lord will bless you no matter what. In Psalm 48, verse 14, the New Living says He will be our guide all our lives. For what is God like? He is our God forever and ever. And he will guide us until we die, the scripture says. So the right up to the very end, God says, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be guiding you all the way on your path in this life. It's wonderful to know that God will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. He's going to be there for you until you die. Amen? And then until when you expire this life, he's going to take you to heaven. And you have a nice home there. You know, You got a nice pad in heaven. You know, I often wondered about, you know, he said, you know, what is that? He says, God will give you what? What is that? A home? A mansion? Well, I was always afraid to live in a mansion by myself in heaven because I thought it might be too lonely in a big mansion. You know, I think about a mansion, there's a huge house, lots of rooms in it and furniture and all that stuff in there, but I'm just the only one in it. But, you know, that's not how it is. God wants to lead you, give you, there's a place for you. You know, it's going to be a wonderful place, okay? And you're going to have angel friends in there and maybe super little puppies or whatever it is. Whatever God gives you, you know, it's going to be nice, right? So it's going to be great. Amen. So Psalm 73 says that he'll guide you till you die, right? It says, you will guide me with your counsel, leading me to the into a glorious destiny. God's going to lead you to the glorious destiny until you get into heaven. It's going to be a wonderful time. Amen? Hallelujah. And there's no fear of dying. You should not be afraid of dying. You know, people go to bed at night, they're afraid to die. You know, it's the best way for you to die is when you sleep. So you don't feel a thing. You don't know, everybody say, did I die? Oh, yeah, you're in heaven. You know, so you wake up in heaven. So some people say when they died, they didn't know whether or not they're in the body or not. When they died, they didn't realize they actually died, but they came back to their body. You know, Paul, the apostle, said, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 12 11 or whatever that was there. He said, I knew a man in Christ once, and he went up, he was caught up to the third heaven. He said, I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. That tells us right there that when you die, you don't even know you came out of your body. It's pretty quiet in here. People are afraid of dying. So Psalm 48, verse 17 says that God teaches us the way we should go. This is what the Lord says here, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths that you should follow. So God, you know, there's just different times you come through a pathway that you think, you know, what should I go, right or the left? And you don't know. We were given instruction once last week when I went to Sulakot. They said, you'll come up along the road and you'll drive down 10 minutes. You'll come up against a sign that says this. You turn left, you turn right. Then you're going to go over the hill. If you go over the hill, you go too far. If you don't see this building, you've gone too far. They're trying to give us direction, you know. But we followed it, and we got to the place. And all of a sudden, why is it that I was so surprised that I got there? We're here. We didn't know. But I was following some direction. I was never there before, but they gave me a direction how to get there. So sometimes you're like that. You wonder, man, God's been leading me all the time. I didn't realize it, you know. He's always leading me. So we need to hear from God daily. We need to hear from him every day. We need to hear that God is, you know, what a nice comforting thing it is to know that, hey, during the daytime, you know that, hey, God led me. He led me to say these things to people. He led somebody to me and so forth. It's wonderful. God told us he will lead us in every aspect of our lives. We shouldn't doubt no matter what we see or what we hear. Sometimes what you see might not be feel like God has actually led you, but he is leading you. You might not feel like he is doing anything. Everything's the same. But I want to tell you right now, things are changing in the realm of the Spirit. When you begin to say, God, I'm going to walk in the direction you want me to walk, and the Lord begin to he move on your behalf. But if you're stubborn, you're going to stay in the wrong place. So ask God daily. And confess daily that he is leading you. Look in the mirror and say, you know, God is leading me. Tell yourself that God is leading me right now. When you're in bed at night, say, Lord, I want to thank you. You're leading me. You're changing things for me. You're making things right for me. And it's easy to follow God. No matter what you see, don't confess you're on the wrong path. To say that God is leading me. You got some scripture right here that we just gave you. To say, God is leading me. He promised to lead me all my life. Psalm 37:23, the New Living says, the Lord directs our steps. He directs the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I like that scripture because, you know, we like to have detail. We want to have specific things done in our lives. And God said he would do it. He'll order our steps. Proverbs chapter 3, somebody read that today. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, you can't trust in the Lord with your heart and try to be convinced by what you see. Your heart is not your head. And you can't trust God without God's word. You can only trust God when you have the scriptures. That's the only way you can trust the Lord. He said, do not depend on your own understanding. You might not always understand everything that's happening in your life right now. But you have to trust that God is leading you. You might not feel like he's leading you, but he is leading you. He promised to do it. Especially when you as a believer say, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Seek his will in all that you do. In every area, every aspect of your life, and he will show you which path to take. Follow your heart and do not always believe what your head says. Trust in him with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding, the Bible says. Seek him. Seek him out. You have to ask God to guide you. Ask God, show me. If you ask him in faith and act in faith, one aspect of being led is having wisdom. You must believe that he is there when it doesn't feel like it. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says, "On you," he says there, Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, the New Living says, notice this, Jeremiah 1, 5 to 8, New Living. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord," I said, there's Jeremiah talking to God, I can't speak for you. I'm too young." The Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." You have to understand that God was speaking to Jeremiah and that he had a task to do and that he was afraid, just like everybody in this room here. And that God says, before you were in your womb, before you were in the mother's womb, I knew you. God knew you a long, long time ago. He knew you. He created you. He created your spirit. The Bible says when you die, your spirit will go back to the Creator, the one who formed it. And so the Bible says here that he's appointed for us, not just Jeremiah, but for all of us. You can see that same remark that Paul made over in Galatians chapter 1, that God formed you long, long time ago. He knew about your life. The first decision you'll make, you'll have to take responsibility in making a decision. So if you're going to make a decision, you're going to say, you know, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to make a decision right now. You'll have to take responsibility to do that. Don't look to other people and blame them for the trouble you're in. Take responsibility. Lots of times people make a wrong turn. I was talking to somebody today. They made some wrong decisions in their lives. And they blaming everybody else. They won't see the fact that they won't acknowledge that they've made a wrong turn. And no one can help them. No one can trust them now because they don't want to acknowledge that they were a part of the wrong situation that they're in now. So the first thing is make up your mind to make a decision. That's your first step. Say, I'm going to make up my mind. So the first aim is to make your own mind and make up that decision that you are going to hear from God yourself. Amen. So be responsible for your own decisions. Don't blame anybody else when you make a decision. People want to shift the blame at times. There comes a point when you have to make your own decision and stand on your own decision, stand on yourself. Sometimes, I don't know if you heard this before, sometimes you have to stand on your own. Somebody is not going to hold your hand. You got to depend on Jesus, depend on God to hold your hand, that he's going to be there for you. Like, don't try to go and ask everybody, you know, what should I do? You're going to take the responsibility. You're going to trust God yourself and be a man, a woman of God, and say, I'm going to make this decision. Are you here tonight? The Bible talks about a person called the Spirit of Truth. He's in you. The Bible says the Spirit of Truth in you, Jesus said. If you read the, you know, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he talks about the Spirit of Truth in those chapters. He introduces the disciples, introduces the Holy Spirit to them there, and he says that he's going to be in you someday. He'll be there. In Micah chapter 7, it's a central idea. But nevertheless, we can be specific. We need to be specific. Scripture refers to a time when we put a confidence, you know, we put confidence sometimes in other people. We shouldn't be putting confidence in people. We should put confidence in the right place. So don't trust just a friend. The Bible says in Micah 7, verse 5, the new King James says this, do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth for her who lies in your bosom. So, you know, you don't want to be blind leading the blind. You don't want to let somebody be leading you that don't know anything. You say, well, you make a decision. So sometimes couples do that to each other. We say, okay, you make a decision. No, you make a decision. You know? So, but we should make a decision. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14 says, so ignore them. They're blind guys leading the blind. So if one blind person leads another one, they will both fall into a ditch. So sometimes, you know, you try to look to somebody to lead you that doesn't have any direction from God. And so you're looking to them. So why would you want to do that? God says he'll trust God. You should trust God yourself. So don't let people guide you or looking for signs or with something superstitious. Be careful of being led by, people that are so-called prophets or prophesying in your life. But, you know, prophecy is good if it agrees with your spirit and it gives you that comfort that, you know, I'm making the right decision. And so don't look for a spiritual experience like a fantastic dream from heaven at night. You know, hey, I had a dream. You know, I always get uncomfortable with people always saying, yeah, I got this dream, you know. I got this happened to me and this spectacular dream always going on with their lives. And it seems every 2 weeks, every month, they got some kind of fantastic dream or some kind of a something spiritual has to be. I heard, you know, the wind blowing at night. And I was praying, you know, and I started to have a chill gone down my spine. I was asking God something. So that must be God. So they're looking for something. Like like one time my brother, you know, he's been a Christian for many years. He said to me, there's a black bird raven. It came to my window. It sat there. And it was making some noises. And I believe that the Lord was trying to get my attention. A black bird sent to my house. Well, and you know, in our culture, we have certain things that people have told us about. That, you know, if a bird comes to your house and knocks on your window, it means something in your family's going to die. I said, well, I don't believe that. You know, if you want to believe that, I don't know. Do you guys hear about that? Some of you, yeah. So I don't want that blackbird. Don't come around here. Praise God. An owl or something like that. So anyway, so he believed in that kind of stuff. So some are led astray. We're talking about making decisions. Don't be led by superstition. Okay? Or just supernatural phenomenon. Because, you know, the devil, he can do that. He can send something spiritual. Not everything spiritual is God. Because the devil is a spiritual person. He's a spirit being. He can do different things. He can whistle in the nighttime. You know? My granny, they used to try to tease us when we were kids. They said, you know, you shouldn't whistle at night. I mean, they tell us all kinds of stuff. I don't know, anybody ever heard about those kind of things? Yeah? Yeah? So just superstitious, you know? And so we could mention all kinds of stuff. Someone said Gideon was led by a fleece. Gideon was not born again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost like you and me. And so he had to use external things to show whether or not God was there. So a lot of Christians that are born again have the Holy Spirit in them. They're looking for a fleece. Don't, the Bible doesn't say in Romans 8:17 that as many as are led by fleeces, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by prophets, they are sons of God. No, these we shouldn't be led. Everybody's going to be led by God themselves. So don't allow. So God is leading you right now. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 8:14, the Spirit, in verse 16, the Spirit bears witness. Or the Spirit leads us in verse 16. If we're sons of God, we expect that God should lead us by His Spirit. Everybody say, God leads me by His Spirit. What exactly does that mean? It means this, that the Holy Ghost is inside you, that He's going to give you a witness. He's going to give you that sense on the inside of you. There's sometimes, I told my wife, there's some things, you know, I just sense I got to do this, I just sense on the inside of me. You got to develop that. It's not going to happen automatically. You got to want to be led that way. You got to want to believe that to buy something, like if you're going to go buy an item or do something, you got to just check on the inside of you. Don't read the newspaper or something. Just read this, what the scriptures say. So Romans 8:14-16, he bears witness. He said, "With our spirits or our hearts or our inward man, are we created born again spirit?" That He's going to lead us through our heart, our spirit man. So we're made up of spirit, and we have a soul, we live in a body. So people are looking for their body to lead them. They want to feel something physically, or they want to feel, you know, whatever it is. But if you check your spirit, you should be led by peace all the time. If you've got confusion there, get out of that. Get out of it right away. If you don't have peace in it, don't make a decision. You know, you're being, you know, pressured by a salesman. You got to buy that today. You got to buy that car today. Just go ahead and buy it. This is the last one ever to be created. They'll never send one your way like this again. I said, buy that today. Sign right here. So he said, okay. And you sign it. Then you feel bad on the inside. You have to take it home and show everybody what a mess you're in. Then for 97 years paying payments. Okay, we know that Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? In other words, that God will enlighten you. He will give you light on the inside that you're on the right path. If there's no light, don't go there. If you don't have any revelation, don't go there. If you feel that, you know, there's no light there, don't go there. It's dark. You like walking in the dark time? You're going to stumble. You might meet the boogeyman. God will enlighten your heart. Your heart and the spirit, it means the same thing. Don't make decisions on outward appearance or physical appearance. People get upset when you say, you know, when people say, well, God spoke to me. You know, you ever say that? The Lord was speaking to me. And sometimes people get mad at that. They say, you mean to say God speaks to you? Of course God speaks to you. The Bible said, Jesus said that my sheep will know my voice. Anybody, God ever speak to them? Yeah? He speaks to you. He tells you to blow your nose. Comb your hair, something, right? Yeah, you know, so he tells you different things. So why is this coming on? I never touched that. Lord, what's going on? You know, the other day I was here, Sunday morning, and all of a sudden a song came on. And I said, you know, what's going on? I don't know. Something's going on. So people get mad when you say God led me or God told me something. Well, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. God's supposed to lead us by His Spirit. We're supposed to be hearing God. Not some physical something, but on the inside of us, Jesus said, and Paul also, we mentioned that earlier, John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. So God promises to lead you if you're one of His sheep. You know, that's what it says, Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me into green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. Even when the enemy is there, he cannot attack you because you're safe in His arms. So don't be led intellectually or in your mind. We just talked about Proverbs. Don't trust in the Lord with your heart. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. Turn to God and say, Lord, You just pray that prayer and say, God, you know, forgive me. If you've been off course, just say, Lord, forgive me for making bad decisions. I was on the wrong path. I'm asking you right now to lead me in the right path. And he will forgive you. So, number one, in closing, you got to have your heart has to be in a good, right condition. First of all, have a clear heart. And 1 Corinthians 14:10 says there are many kinds of languages in the world, or voices in the world, that none of them without signification. So the King James says there's many voices in the world. And so many voices can be heard, or sometimes you hear so many voices and you get cluttered up. You can't find out, you can't find things in clutter. How many of you, if you want to rush out of your house and your house is so cluttered, you can't find the right shoes or the right socks, sometimes it's dark. You notice that it's darker now in the morning? Till 8:30, so it's getting dark, right? And then you got the wrong sock on and wrong mismatched colors because it's dark. So we need to, you can get cluttered, your heart can get cluttered because you got so many junk in there. You got anger in there, you got, whatever resentment in there, and you get cluttered. You can't make decisions in that. So you got to go back to God. Lord, forgive me, and God will begin to clear your conscience over there, and then you can hear God better. You can't hear God with a cluttered heart, that you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're just, so full of self-pity, and why me? Why do I have to have this? Why do I do this? Why? And so on. And then you get so enamored with yourself and all your troubles, you're falling in love with that whole thing, that you forget there's God trying to talk to you. So, also, number two, be humble. Psalm 25:9 says, God will guide the meek. He will guide you and teach you his way. So learn to be humble. We can say so much about that, but right now we're going to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power tonight, for leading and guiding us. Everybody stand. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for leading us, God. I want you to know, God wants you to know tonight, that he is going to guide you to the next phase, the next step. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Thank God. You can begin to thank the Lord that he said he's going to lead you forever, never forsake you. He will never leave you. Lord, we want to thank you for every single person here in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit and how he guides us. Thank you for that leading of the Spirit in our hearts. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for giving us the wisdom, dealing with every situation, that it will not be forever. Every situation that has looking like it's turmoil, it's going to change. Things are going to change. Thank you. We give you praise, Father. Say, thank God. I'm led by his Holy Spirit. So he promised to lead me, and he'll do it forever. He'll never forsake me. I'm never alone. He's leading me right now in the right path. I believe it. I'm trusting it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray for that our friend here. Stretch your hand towards him in the name of Jesus. Hurt his back. Got a pinched nerve. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over Dominic's body. We pray for his physical body. We pray that healing will be manifested right now, starting right this moment, in his body. I know he's trusting and believing you. So we're speaking to Dominic's pinched nerve in his back, all the muscles, all the tendons, and all the things that are controlling that area, his nerves, his cells, blood, in the name of Jesus, be healed, straighten out. And we thank you for that. We speak life over him. In the name of Jesus, I believe it. I believe it because you said you'd do it. And we believe it because we speak it. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to pray for somebody else, Mary's neighbor, who's sick. So we're going to pray over this cloth right now. Stretch your hand towards this cloth. Trust God with me. The Bible says they brought handkerchiefs. And so, Father, we pray that the anointing of God can be transferred to a cloth. And by faith, we activate the anointing of God. By faith, This anointing is going into this cloth. Will affect the healing and the cure in that person's body. Because you said to do it, Lord, and we believe it. In the name of Jesus, we call that person healed. We call them well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say, God is leading me. Say, God is leading me. I believe it. Amen. Mary, come and get this. Hallelujah. You got to watch this anointing. It's all over you, ma'am. Praise God. Bless you. Thank you. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Amen. Those of you watching online, if you've been watching, wherever you are, I want to let you know that God loves you. And if you've been off course, God will forgive you. Just acknowledge that you've been wrong. Say, Lord, forgive me. If you see in the Bible, read in the Psalms, the Bible says that when you get off course, you say, God, I've been a fool, and I'm coming back to you right now. Acknowledge that you're wrong, and he will help you get out of this situation. If you've never been born again, you have to remember that God sent his son Jesus, and he's died for you. He died for your sins. And so if you invite him in your life, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life, forgive me, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. If you said that quick and simple prayer, that you're now born again, you're his child, and he'll lead you and direct you all the day of your life. Drop us a line. Let us know who you are. We want to send you a package to help you grow in your spiritual life. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.